Can you hear me?
So in between, at least these first couple will, while he's introducing the next person, without this, we'll change this from person to person.
So does, he does have, can we, have a mic.
He's only going to be a minute.
Oh, you,
they can hear you, but not him.
Right.
Here we are, putting on an analog playback from the Archives Committee. We have four speakers today, George Blood, Eric Jacobs, Seth Winter, and Mike Casey. And first I will introduce Mike Casey.
The Associate Director of Recording Services at the Archives of Traditional Music in Indiana University.
You don't need to hear this.
Okay.
He's just introducing me.
Here's Mike.
Thank you. Thanks very much. That's all we need, really. Welcome to the Technical Committee's presentation. And for the next couple of hours, we'll talk about the analog playback stage and doing preservation. The first question I have, maybe for the rest of my colleagues who are going to be presenting, is, guys, what's the big deal?
We can't see anything.
You just press.
All we see is you.
All right. But in general, you just press play and it goes, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is. Okay. The big deal really is that we have a lot of these. So you can see wire recordings and cylinders and open reel tapes, lacquer discs, aluminum discs. That each of them played back in a different way on different kinds of machines and requiring some historical knowledge, some knowledge of the historical format in order to play back these different formats optimally. And we have a lot of them. This is one part of one shelf in the Archives of Traditional Music vault. Some of them look like this. Some of them look like this. This is the classic plasticizer exudation from a lacquer disc and starting to delaminate as well. Some of them unfortunately look like this. This is an almost completely delaminated lacquer disc. We will not have the opportunity to play this one back. This one is gone. Some of them smell like this. The analog playback stage is really just one part of a larger preservation system. You can think about preservation operations as being systems. It's the way that we try to approach it at the Archives of Traditional Music. And here, this is from the Sound Directions publication, is just, you know, a suggestion of the kinds of components you might have in a preservation system. The parts along the preservation chain, if you want to think about it that way, ranging from, you know, project planning and development to selection for preservation all the way at the top there, and then going down to the actual digitization and then post-digitization to storage, long-term storage, creation of preservation packages, ingestion into a repository, migration down the line, so forth and so on. We're just going to take in this session a piece of this, and that's the analog playback piece. What makes up the analog playback stage? And here again, I'm just trying to be suggestive. I'm not trying to be comprehensive. And we may hear some refinements from this from some of the other speakers. But I would suggest that perhaps these functions are included in this stage. Identification, preparation, and physical restoration, then perhaps deeper levels of identification, selecting the playback machine, aligning the playback machine, aligning to a specific carrier, actually playing, and then storage afterwards. Let's look at each of these just very quickly. Identification, physical inspection of the item that you're about to reproduce. Obviously, identification of the format, but then also a consideration of the likely problems and issues that you will find with this format, which will help get you started thinking about not only how you're going to play it back, but the kinds of things you might encounter and that you might want to be prepared for. So likely problems and issues. And then the potential for cleaning. Do you want to clean this object? Can it be cleaned? Is it appropriate to clean it? What would I use to clean it? Does it need cleaning? Preparation and what I call physical restoration. This can be mitigating problems that, you know, for open reel tapes, take pack issues or splices that are breaking that need to be repaired before you actually try to do a preservation transfer. Cleaning, winding of tapes. Deeper levels of identification. And again, these steps are not necessarily sequential. Sometimes they kind of happen all at once. Gathering basic technical metadata. This can be such things as the track configuration and the playback speed, which will help you select your playback machine for an open reel tape, the groove size of a disc, And then selection of the playback machine, so again, relying upon some of that technical metadata that you gathered a little bit earlier, and aligning that playback machine, and then particularly aligning it to the individual carrier for a tape. This would be an azimuth adjustment. For a disc, you may be at this stage choosing a stylus and deciding on tracking force to reproduce the disc. Then actually playing it back, gathering additional technical metadata, for example, playback problems that you encounter, documenting those problems. Perhaps, if you're interested, documenting the quality of the sound that you're hearing and where there are problems. So if you have areas where there's a bunch of distortion on a tape that's from the original recording, maybe you want to document that and carry that metadata forward. And then you also may want to document any procedures or techniques that you use to solve problems. So if you have a disc and you have some pieces of the coding coming up, what did you do to try to get it to play? And then storage. For a tape, that may be a library wind at the end to store it in played position. For any recording, maybe rehousing, again, if appropriate. I want to talk just a minute about expertise that's required for this stage. Analog playback is a critical stage in a preservation system. It's a place where you can lower the fidelity of what you're doing pretty dramatically, pretty significantly. It can have more of an impact than some other stages. All the stages are important, I would say. But in the analog playback stage, you have an opportunity to get the most out of a recording or to get something that is seriously less than the most out of that recording. It takes certain knowledge of, not only knowledge of the historical formats, but also the ways in which they deteriorate in order to deal with a lot of the kinds of recordings that we're dealing with on a daily basis. And you can see some of the kinds of things that that the playback person needs to actually perform or to be aware of. Aligning and verifying the performance of machines, and again, a lot of the things that I've been talking about. I had one quote that I wanted to read you, but I forgot to bring it up with me. So I'll simply talk about it from the Capturing Analog Sound publication that's put out by CLEAR and by the Library of Congress. Seth Winter, I know, was part of that project. They make a very strong play for using audio engineers to do preservation transfer work. Now, at the Archives of Traditional Music, we have experience using both graduate students and audio engineers over the years. What we've learned out of that experience is that, in fact, we do want audio engineers because of their critical listening abilities and because of their technical skills to do preservation transfer work. We're not able to get the quality of work, the level of work that we really are after for preservation work when we use graduate students. We still use graduate students for many things in our archive. We have an entire access digitizing program that revolves simply around banging out CDs for orders and graduate students with supervision of an audio engineer. And the audio engineer intervening at critical points will do that work. But when it comes to actual preservation transfer, particularly from deteriorating formats, our choice has been to use audio engineers. In some ways, we're bouncing off of what the Capturing Analog Sound document recommends. And they make a very, very strong statement there about, essentially about being concerned that in many archives, people who are not experienced with the historical formats and the ways in which they degrade are trying to do playback and are actually damaging recordings. And they suggest very strongly using audio engineers to do that work. The Sound Directions publication, as one of its best practices, also suggested to use audio engineers in the workflow where their skill is required. So it doesn't say that audio engineers are part of the entire workflow, but there are certain points where that skill is absolutely required. I thought it would actually play you an example of transfers done by at the ATM, done by graduate students, and then the same thing transferred by an audio engineer. And I did not set these up. These are things that were found, but I think they're very revealing. So we'll do first an open reel tape that was reproduced by a graduate student onto another tape.
Go back to that switch test over here. You can one more time, yes, estimate this time. Yes, his acting background, my beard, his well, she come
it's
out
the same thing done by an audio engineer.
Flew off. She was a witch. Nobody didn't know it. He went behind her. He made himself invisible. And they went into the castle. He said, she asked that man, what must I ask John? Said, I was supposed to ask him three questions. Said, if he can answer them, said.
Huge difference. It's simply, in this case, a matter of knowing what the format, what the track configuration is, and then not only reproducing it correctly, but in fact, in this case, using a technique that I first heard about from Seth, in fact, to reproduce the tape that's a little out of the ordinary, but obviously works quite well for this particular format. Here's another example. This actually comes to us from the School of Music, which is right next door. They have a preservation transfer operation as well. Here's a before, kind of a before. Here's the same thing that was then done by the audio engineer and staff. And according to what that engineer told me, I think this was a case in the first bit of a combination of things, not aligning the tape machine, not adjusting azimuth, but also having a sticky shed tape that was shedding fairly massively. So you can hear a big difference. And the question really becomes, in my mind, is, you know, what do you want to carry forward into the future? Here are some additional resources if you want to learn more about analog playback. Yaza TC04 is mostly concerned with playback of analog originals, or a good bit of it is anyhow. The Capturing Analog Sound publication that I talked about. And then there's a little bit in the Sound Directions publication as well. More reporting on what Harvard and Indiana have done for playback as opposed to putting specific recommendations. That's the Sound Directions publication cover. And that's all that I have. Thank you.